Cherry Developer News, episode number 49 for Monday, July 1st, 2013. I'm Ken Rimple.
And I'm Joel Confino.
We're here to talk about all sorts of things that interest us. Short show this week. We have a bunch of things going on, but we thought we'd talk about tools. Tools that developers might use, tools that project management might use, kind of getting a leg up on your development efforts. So, Joel, I know you started by jotting down a few different things you were interested in. You and I both kind of nailed one new type of tool, which is kind of a live coding tool and testing tool. You brought up JS Bin, and I've been using JS Fiddle.
Sure. So JS Bin and JS Fiddle, I think, are pretty similar, but I've saw JS Bin in the context of a really good webcast by somebody who works for Apogee Software that talked about building a very quick build of an HTML5 app using PhoneGap and a API-based backend that Apogee puts out, which actually they bought a called UserGrid, or they bought an open source project called UserGrid. Now they have, it's still open source, but you can have a commercial version as well. But in any case, the person who was doing this really fascinating webcast, which maybe we'll talk a little bit more about, was using some interesting tools, and one of them was JS Bin. So as he would do the webcast and he would code, we could see in JS Bin the JavaScript on the left pane, and then on the right pane, you could see the execution or the results. And I think JS Fiddle is similar, but it was neat. It was good for live coding and sharing. Kind of interesting, every so often it would automatically save. And so you would be watching at a certain number. So you'd be watching like his user account /1. And then a few seconds later, it'd be /2, /3. So it was like automatically putting in like save points. It just seemed like a pretty neat way to do live coding and to share it.
That's very cool. And what, do they give you like a live sharing link or something like that?
Yeah, you give the link out to folks. They can watch. You can give them a watch link or an edit link.
So I think that's definitely different than JS Fiddle. Well, they all have the same goal. That also has like the three panes in the output, HTML, CSS, and JavaScript are the defaults, and then output. But I like this CodeCast concept here. That's really neat. So you can actually live watch as people are working on this stuff without having to like refresh your browser?
Exactly. And that's kind of the point. It was almost like a screencast, but he was, so rather than, watching literally a screencast, which, you know, was okay. This was, you're actually watching on this site. So you can, I guess, fiddle with the code yourself.
Right.
Or things like that. So it's almost a little bit more interactive. Although in this case, you were watching. You weren't, I guess he could have given you, giving us edit capability, but you can cut and paste it right out of the screen, you know, as he's working into your own buffer or something. So it's pretty neat.
I like how they're doing this. So the difference between this, it seems, and the other is, if you look at JS Fiddle, by the way, it was jsbin.com.
I think it was .com.
.com, you're correct, jsbin.com. And it's jsfiddle.net. So with JS Fiddle, they actually hook into GitHub, single sign-in through GitHub. Both of them seem to do similar things. I'm looking at the panes here, and it's they basically set up a grid of four. So you've got HTML on the top, JavaScript below it, CSS on the top right, and result on the top bottom right. And you can kind of drag things around. But that's kind of the way you look there. Both of them allow you to add libraries. And with the JS Fiddle one, if you ask for a library, it just kind of adds it in the background. You don't actually see the source of it. I kind of like the JS Bin a little better that way. So anyway, if you're looking at doing JavaScript and you're trying to figure out what's going on with an application, it's a really good idea, like anything else, to try to tease apart the actual problem you have. So if you can pull out everything and try to reproduce it in something like a JS Bin or JS Fiddle and paste it somewhere, send it to somebody, that gives you a leg up over just trying to sit and debug the console all day. Pretty cool. All right. Kokita. Now, if I remember correctly, Kokita lets you kind of build an app on the web, and there are a lot of those out there. Was that something he used for the coding in his example?
He did, and then I used it for some prototyping myself. So basically, and I don't know how to pronounce it either, but I'm going to go with Kodika.
Kodika. I think it's not Kokita, by the way. You're right. It doesn't even work.
C-O-D-I-Q-A. I think it's Kodika. Kodika.com. And, its tagline is incredibly easy mobile development, and it really is. So basically you have what looks like a UI builder for an iPhone, although you can select different kinds of devices. And then it uses jQuery mobile widgets, and you drag the widgets on, and you build an app. And it's amazing how quick you can build a pretty nice little prototype. One of the really cool things that you can do then with this, though, is then you can so that's great for prototyping, because when you're prototyping a mobile app, like things that you might not do is you may not realize how little space you have. So you can't have long forms on mobile apps, and it becomes really apparent when you try to prototype them out. Once you get beyond a couple fields, this thing starts to feel enormous. So you know, I ripped out a little prototype of an app using Codica, and I thought it went really nice. And then you can download the code. And then you use that code for, you know, the start of your project. So in the, again, referring back to this webcast where the person from Apigee built, you know, built a very quick store mobile app, they did use Codica. So that's how I got introduced to it. But then I've been playing with it myself. Interesting enough, it's it has a lot of what's in jQuery Mobile, but not everything. So, for example, in jQuery Mobile, you can have a list views that can include thumbnails, but that's not in the current Codica version. But I was reading on the forums, and I emailed the people who make it, and they said they're rolling out like that feature soon. So I think it's one of these fast moving products,
right?
That it's definitely valuable, especially if you're not super up on mobile and you kind of want to try it with a GUI builder and then see the code that it produces.
You know, speaking of, was this the Apigee Phone Gap training that you watched? Is that what that was?
It was, yeah. And they have done that.
We both came away going, wow, on that one, I think.
Yeah, I was shocked at how fast. So basically in that, model, you would use Codica to crank out a UI, you download the source and then, or cut and paste it into JSBin, use that to fill out the details of it, which essentially taking that UI and making some JavaScript calls to hook it into the Apigee backend.
Right.
And you can have it's not just a prototype, like a real working mobile app in, you know, again, amazingly short time. I mean, the time it takes to build total apps keeps, you know, shrinking.
Yeah, right,
right. And this is like one more iteration of shrinking down. And in this case, you don't even need any tools. I mean, that are actually downloaded and installed. It's all web-based. So that's another like really amazing part. You want to show somebody how to do this or do it yourself. I mean, you just literally take a browser and use a couple tools, and you've actually launched something real.
You know, I should mention also while we're talking about that. Have you looked at the Apigee side of this? That's a really interesting service. That Apigee service.
I think it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, so Apigee basically is, they're calling these class of apps, which I don't know if I'm all aboard on this acronym, but backend as a service.
Right.
And I think the difference is infrastructure as a service is like Amazon. That's where you get, you're renting basically hardware. Platform as a service is like Heroku, where you're running your code inside of their engine.
We're pre-built, yeah.
Yeah, and then backend as a service, you're not running your code in their engine, you're just calling their REST APIs. So they have no front end, but they have, you know, these REST APIs that you can call. So basically Apigee, you can call basic CRUD persistence on any object you can make up. So you can just make up, you know, doesn't have to have a schema. You can just make up like a dog has, you know, these attributes and then start populating using REST calls, start, you know, sending JSON objects to populate, you know, your dogs, or in this case, your stores or whatever you want. But that part's fine and not super complicated. You can imagine, you know, CRUD on JSON objects is not a big deal. But Apigee also layers on user authentication things where you can, you know, log in with various services like Google or Facebook or something. It puts in some security model. It has queries that are location aware. So you can put in this example, a bunch of stores, and you can put in their geo coordinates. And then you can run queries that say, you know, within 500 yards of me. So, like, that's pretty cool, sophisticated stuff that's built in. And they have a free tier. So if you're just trying to bootstrap your mobile app and you don't really want to build an entire back end and you don't have any money.
A lot of startups fall into that category, yeah.
You could use these tools to, you know, to bootstrap something. And then when it becomes popular, Apigee has a pay tier. Or because it's built on User Grid, you can go run your own User Grid on your own server somewhere.
Right, right. You know, and I love, as we were doing this, we were looking at the data model API that they have. And they've got a data grid that's just fantastic with an API that works with it, with paging and all sorts of stuff. So just really interesting stuff out there. All right, so that sounds like, you know, if you're looking for kind of building a, I don't even want to call it Web 3.0, but a, you know, HTML mobilized potentially you know, responsive design front end with HTML5 and some nice JavaScript library. You pretty much could do everything in the browser with basically services to help you build stuff and then throw it up on GitHub when you're done, and host with some sort of hosting provider. To that regard, if you're still doing traditional development, there's still companies out there that are trying to figure that out too. I know I played around and I have an account with CloudBees, and there are a couple of other companies like that out there where you can kind of host the entire development life cycle. So you get like a Git repository, you get, or Subversion if you'd rather, you get, continuous integration tools, you know, you get a wiki, you get the ability to host servers, all in one platform. Have you ever looked at any of those things?
I have not in as much recently. I mean, I did look at CloudBees and their hosted Jenkins, but I haven't really been as much aware of those. I've been actually more focused on the software as a service ones like we're talking about.
Right. It's kind of like hosting the old model, but I guess that where that would fall in is if you've got like a development team that needs to be distributed and, you know, it's a startup perhaps, but you want to use traditional style applications. So you really need to, you know, do Java development against a version control system, and you also want to do Jenkins for testing. Just another kind of way of doing, you know, development, kind of provision development, I guess is the term for that.
I think it's a good model because the thing with, I mean, having run, you know, Jenkins clusters and Subversion and Nexus and these different tools, the one thing is anytime you're running a server yourself, there's a lot of hidden costs.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe hidden isn't the right word, but it's just you
nasty.
Probably yeah, right. You probably didn't estimate in how much time you're going to spend finding some dumb bug or some environment variables off, or, you know, all sorts of things that has to do with supporting a live running thing. And then when you're Subversion server, you're whatever, I mean, hopefully you're using GitHub or something, but let's just say you're using Subversion, crashes, then every, you know, work stops for a day or two until you can figure out what went wrong. So I think anytime, you know, these hosted services tend to be really cheap, and anytime you can pay somebody to babysit the server for you, you know, if you're a developer, that's definitely money well spent. You can focus on your product. And, you know, really for Hadel, that's what we're doing for our product development, is outsourcing as many things as we can because there's so many good providers out there. I mean, that's the part that was really surprising to me, was just how much is really out there. Pretty much anything you can think of that you would do developer-wise, somebody has a hosted solution for you. And I think a lot of times they're cheaper to use than doing it yourself.
How about, you know, even something like Trello? I mean, you use Trello, right, on your project, or have?
I love Trello.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Trello I found recently.
And I've used it too, yeah.
I mean, there's like, I guess it's kind of an explosion. It seems like a lot of people, when I talk about it, they're like, oh, yeah, we use Trello.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be, it's just a really nice, lightweight way to manage any kind of list of things to do. So it works really well as a Scrum board or a Kanban board. We have the to-do items, your in-progress, and your done items. We use it for all kinds of planning boards. So here's the things that we want to do in a month. Here's the things we want to do in a quarter. Here's the things we want to do by the end of the year. And you just kind of move things through those lists.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a phenomenal API. It's free. I can't imagine how they do that, but it's really nice.
They must be advertising someone somewhere.
Yeah, well, I think it's the Stack Exchange guys who I really like, and they kind of said they're going to try to get it to like million or millions of users,
right.
And then they'll worry about monetizing it that way. I guess at that point you have such an amazing user base that, you know.
And it runs on anything too. That's the nice thing. I did get the Android client. It worked reasonably well. You know, it'll work on a desktop and a browser, iPad, even Windows 8. I guess they went to Windows 8 tablets. Woohoo! But neat tool, Trello.com. That's another one. While we're talking tools, what's another one you like? I know we did a internal conference and you presented a bunch of really kick butt tools, but just in terms of daily work, like what do you find yourself reaching for these days?
Sure. Well, one that I use personally to try to get organized is Asana, and that's a popular...
Is that A-S-A-N-A?
It is. And that is a popular task management, basically from the getting things done type of tools. Although in Asana, it definitely works with getting things done, and it's probably influenced by that. It's not like an in-your-face getting things done. So in other words, it's not super opinionated. But Asana has a beautiful UI, and you can give yourself tasks, and then it just really helps me stay organized personally. So for team stuff, we use Trello. On Hadel, we use Pivotal Tracker is a nice tool.
Mm-hmm.
That Trello and Pivotal have some overlap. we were using Pivotal Tracker, and it's very nice. It's pretty detailed. It's like a Scrum kind of methodology. And it has issues or bugs or chores and these different things. And they have a workflow where they're like started, in progress, done, you know, somebody's accepted them. So it has a nice little workflow to it. But what we found was in Pivotal Tracker, it was hard. We had all these little detailed tasks that had to do with development, but it was hard to see the bigger picture. So we used Trello for the bigger picture things. Like this month we're going, or you know, this sprint, which in our case are weekly, we're going to, you know, these are really the goals. We're going to do this, this, and this. And then we take those and break them down into Pivotal into one or more tasks each. So we kind of use Trello for the big picture. But Pivotal is really nice. And Asana I use personally just to try to stay organized. The nice thing about Asana is whenever I find something that I have to do, I just quickly put it in Asana and then I can forget about it. Like I don't have to remember it anymore. I pick the things I'm going to do today and then I know it's captured. And all these tools have iPhone apps. They have, you know, they're obviously web-based. So they all kind of have this, you can access them anywhere kind of mentality.
Anything else you could think of?
I mean, from the HADL team, a big one that we use that we find our main tool that we use for collaboration while we're, you know, day-to-day chatting is Flowdoc. Flowdoc is a team chat product that also has this really cool concept of a, they call it the team inbox. So imagine on your left-hand pane, well, on your right-hand pane is a traditional chat, and you can have different rooms, and the whole team's in like application room or business room or something, and then you can chat throughout the day. That's fine. Not too unlike a lot of chat clients. On the left-hand side, you have the team inbox. So basically, here is like your central nervous system for your project. And what we have going in there are basically notifications of all kinds of things. When somebody does a commit to Git, there's a notification. When a new build goes out, there's a notification. If there's an error on any server, there's a notification. If somebody sends an email to our mailing list, there's a notification. So it's a really cool concept where you can just have everybody in the loop as to what's going on with this team inbox. And what it means is that our real inbox, our mail inbox, is greatly reduced. So
yes.
Check email. Like email is obviously one of these tools, and this will be like a whole nother conversation. The email is overused. You know, it's too general.
Yeah, it
really
purpose. Is. Yeah.
So by making these notifications go into Flowdoc, it's really helped our team and our communication. And I'm a, you know, a big fan of that. And I had no exposure to it at all until, you know, a couple months ago when we started to use it. And yeah, so Flowdoc, anything with this whole concept of like a central nervous system where you have all the important things that happen in your project end up in some place where you can, you know, get these events and just sort of watch, really cuts down on all the nonsense emails.
You know, and I've been finding lately also that the IDE world, you know, there's always been kind of two thought processes for IDEs, but as I start doing more JavaScript, I found that just using like Vim of all things with, there's like a really fantastic Vim plugin, Janus. When you load Janus, it's like a Git repo that loads a bunch of Vim plugins, including things like JS Hint and JS, a whole bunch of different tools. And I found just loading an Angular app, turning on continuous test integration for all my tests and editing in Vim, I was flying with just command line tools. Let's github.com/Carl Huda/Janus. All right. So for listening to the dev news, if you found this through a Google search, you can head over to emergingtech.chariotsolutions.com, go to the podcast button or drop down and find everything you want there with the developer news or dev news. We also have a longer running interview segment called the Chariot Tech Cast. That's also available there as well as almost 100, if not more, screencasts from our most recent technical shows and conferences. You'll find all that stuff at emergingtech.chariotsolutions.com. You can check out our company for consulting in, you know, mobile, web application development, integration, you name it, that direction. And I do a lot of training for us in things like Spring and Java, Hibernate, and things like that. So check us out at chariotsolutions.com. So for the developer news, I'm Ken Rimple.
I'm Joel Confino.
And we'll see you in a week.